Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 27. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hey, yeah! What was that?
Well, since the baby's awake, instead of putting on a silencer, I put on a loudener.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought those was outlawed.
No, well, if you got to know where to get them.
Yeah.
That's a limoncello La Croix.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
That's the best flavor, isn't it?
You know what? Really, our opening traditions, I just love our opening traditions.
Me too. I think they're wonderful. Yeah. Well, folks, if you've heard those sounds, you know what they signify. This is an episode of Bananas for Bonanza. And I'm here with Mutt Taylor.
Howdy do. I just want to take a quick second to say a thank you to Stephen Glander, who makes it possible we can watch these without commercials.
Oh, yeah. And high quality, too, on the internet. Thank you, Stephen.
He's an honorable Cartwright.
He is. Yeah. I'd like to find out where he gets access to these episodes, but maybe I'll ask you off the air.
I bet Virginia City.
Virginia City. And Amy Slaverson.
Hello. I'm so excited for all my new product lines I'll be introducing as a result of the last trophy this episode.
It sounds like it really inspired you this one.
It really inspired me.
Yeah. Fantastic. It looked like you had more to say.
Oh,
I thought so too.
Well, the first thing I'd like to market is the pony hair ponytail. It says we just chop off the tail of a pony and we put it on your head. And
what this Beatrice had?
And you comb it out while you're insulting your husband.
I did take note of that hairstyle. It seemed like a not a long hair hairstyle, but with a long hair coming out of the back of it.
Like she had like a Rizzo from Grease haircut.
Okay.
But then they put a big ponytail on.
Yeah, it's a Western weave.
Western weave. Yeah, well, it was a strange look.
Yes.
But today we are talking about season 1, episode 27, The Last Trophy. Sounds like we're getting near to the end of season 1, right?
Oh, my.
Well, not quite. No. It's a long season. I think they got 31 or 32 episodes in it.
I was just grateful that the title comes up on this one. Did you see that? Like the print of the title, they put it there in text. Did you have that?
Oh, you mean like they do the credits.
Yeah.
Sometimes. They burn the map this time for the 27th time.
Yeah.
And then they cut to a title card.
Do they always do that?
They began doing that like 20 episodes ago or something. Yeah.
Sometimes like the New Testament I skim.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. If you skim the Old Testament, though, you get smote down, so you can't do that.
Yeah. No. Don't be smote.
I was glad they put the title up because now I knew I was watching the right episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did have that confusion last time. Although you are maybe still confused because what is the last trophy? I don't know.
It was no clearer.
The last trophy.
This episode doesn't help you understand.
Well, this is an underlying, I think, message about how he can't shoot his gun.
Oh,
get
clearly.
It?
Clear. I mean, it is.
He can't. He hesitates even though he tries. There's something that stops him. And that's when you've got to get something that will help you in the BR.
Oh, you're not kidding. This was so obviously written by a Plato peckered motherfucker that it was so on the nose.
Yeah.
Wow. I missed it 100%.
My husband is carving in these. These are originals. Yeah. One made to order, wooden shellacked in the basement dildos, but they're godly dildos. It's just when your husband can't get to the end, you know, or just kind of loses steam. You just got to get something that can make it to he doesn't cower in the face of an elephant.
So this is an episode in which we got these two British people are here visiting the Ponderosa, and one of them, she keeps calling him the best shot in England. He's best fired a gun.
Well, that ain't saying much.
True enough. But now he can't do it anymore, and you're saying that this is a one-to-one obvious analogy or a metaphor or a...
Absolutely.
For having sex.
Because she's also angry at him, and she wants Adam's virility.
Right. God damn, it never occurred to me.
And Adam so easily takes his gun out of his holster. Get it?
You're right.
So
it comes right
fast,
out.
It just pops up.
Yeah. So now your husband is down there in the basement. What kind of wood is he making these dildos out of?
He's mostly using plywood just because been so difficult for supply chain. It's difficult to get real wood. So
it's just like a quarter inch thick?
It's like a quarter inch thick, and he's just doing what he can. So we're hard pressing a lot of layers together.
I see. Okay. And, what do you put on there? Wood glue?
Plywood? Yes, Gorilla Glue.
Oh, heavy. You know your stuff, man.
Yeah, all right.
Gorilla glue. And then it's a part of a whole program, though, that we've decided. It's like marital counseling, but it's called carping, Christian action role play. And we take you and your spouse for a weekend, and we lock you into the church for a whole weekend, and then we create scenarios based on the difficulties that you're having in your marriage.
Wow. That's a great idea. It's a little bit like what happens to this couple on this episode where he says, we're going to go hunting, and then I was surprised to hear Adam say, it's going to take us 2 days to get to where we can shoot a cougar. That's no just afternoon lark. There's a serious commitment.
You got to get out to Cougar Flats. It's going to take some time, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to try that. I wish I was married to get in there and role play as these two in a church.
We take your watch away so you don't know what time it is.
Oh, boy.
No phones.
I love it.
It's role playing scenarios. So, and you and your husband are a part of the troop. Is it like a troop of actors?
Well, we have the kids dress up as hipster atheists.
Oh, man.
And, you know, they can come in and do any number of things, but you know, just whatever it is, you'll name a marital issue. And I tell you how we deal with it in the church basement.
Infidelity.
Okay. That's a serious one.
Well, okay, here's what happens. My husband will come out. Your spouse is there, but my husband comes out in a Brad Pitt wig. And he's...
From what movie? We got to know. He's had so many different hairstyles.
Well, whatever one lights your fire.
World War Z.
I'm just saying, it's enough to just have the wig to make you attracted to him. He doesn't got to look like Brad Pitt. I love it.
Well, I reckon he would say this is a Brad Pitt wig, or at least, or I'm Brad Pitt.
I don't know which one. One of the two, and then, you know, he makes a move on you physically in front of your spouse, perhaps.
Okay.
And then, I mean, it depending on what the, if they're infidelity, if they're cheating on you, then you hang back. You hang back frightened, wondering what to do for about 12 hours, watching it unfold in front of you, even when they go off together alone. And you don't question it, even when he holds your spouse by the forearms and you're squirming away from my husband in a Brad Pitt wig.
Oh, my God. Knowing my ex-wife, she'd go in and request Brad Pitt's wig from Benjamin Button when he's an old little baby, and that she'd still fool around with him.
Oh,
that's
man.
Priscilla.
That's Priscilla. Oh, yeah. Priscilla. Yeah, yeah.
But it is like live action role playing, but not progressive.
Oh.
It's carp. Christian action role playing.
You think most role playing, live action role playing, is progressive in nature?
Well, that, of course, it is. Yeah.
Even Civil War reenactments on that.
Yeah. We do potlucks. Everyone brings a nice casserole or a salad or a dessert. And it's, you know, we go for 72 hours, but it teaches a lesson at the end.
Okay.
And that lesson
is
that
is
you should stay married.
Oh, yeah. That'll work. Nothing to help you stay married better than being locked down with your spouse for 72 hours, acting out all your worst problems of your marriage.
Do you get to keep the Brad Pitt wig at the end?
Or some of the casseroles?
Well, that's one of our props. Of course, we do have a merch table.
Okay. Okay.
Damn right you do. That's got to be the biggest table anybody's ever seen anywhere. An Amy Sleverson merch table. Good Lord.
My God. Yeah, that's like a banquet table, I think.
Yeah, it's like one of them tables that Vladimir Putin will sit out to have a one-on-one meeting with you.
I've seen them. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those are some big tables. Okay. Hey, did you guys see The Power of the Dog, by the way?
Yes.
You saw it? Did you
I
see
did
it?
Not.
You ain't seen it yet.
No.
All right.
That's how my husband and I met.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, our relationship isn't sexual. It's in brooding silences.
Oh. See? So the two of you met just brooding at one another.
It's like jazz. It's the notes you don't play.
Exactly. Oh, sometimes he sets beautiful. The table and welcomes everyone in, and I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
Man.
You got to see The Power of the Dog, because what happened this week, we're recording this on March the 2nd, and everybody, everywhere you go, is talking about Sam Elliott running down The Power of the Dog. He didn't like it at all. You hear about that?
I heard about it, but I ain't seen it.
You ain't seen the movie. I'll tell you some of the things.
Or the Sam Elliott thing.
Well, I'll just read you some of his quotes here about the movie, and I don't know that they're spoilers about the movie. The fellow who hosts this podcast, WTF is called, I guess it must stand for Western Talk, frankly, based on what went down with Sam Elliott. The fellow that hosts that podcast says asked him about Power of the Dog, and Sam Elliott said, "You want to talk about that piece of shit?"
Yeah. Oh, no.
He doesn't like it. He took umbrage to the film's characters, who he analogized to Chippendale's dancers. That's what all these fucking cowboys in that movie look like, he ranted. They're all running around in chaps and no shirts. There's all these allusions to homosexuality throughout the fucking movie. And he says, where's the Western in this Western? I mean, Cumberbatch never got out of his fucking chaps. He really didn't like the chaps. He had two pairs of chaps, a woolly pair and a leather pair. And every fucking time he would walk in from somewhere, he was never on a horse, maybe once. He'd walk into the fucking house, storm up the fucking stairs, go lay in his bed in his chaps and play his banjo. It's like, what the fuck? This is Sam Elliott. And there's, he goes on to say more because it was directed by a woman named Jane
Campion.
No, it must be Champion, but they left out the H. He says, I love her previous work, but what the fuck does this woman from down there, New Zealand, know about the American West?
Wow.
Yeah. He says, I just came from Texas where I was hanging out with families. Not men, but families. Big, long, extended, multiple generation families that made their living and their lives were all about being cowboys. And boy, when I fucking saw that movie, I thought, what the fuck? Where are we in this world today? He really, boy.
It really chapped his chaps.
Okay. Don't show him Blazing Saddles. Good Lord.
Oh, somebody's mad. Women made a movie.
I know.
She should have been in the hotel preparing breakfast for 10 people who drank last night.
Yeah. Like,
my God.
He got real sore. He did. This doesn't even include the thing where, he's real mad that it was shot in New Zealand, which pretended to be Montana. Oh. And I agree with that. I believe this is the first time in the history of movie making that they thought they could fool us about where they're shooting something.
I feel that way about Star Wars.
Star Wars.
They didn't shoot that in space.
They did not?
No, they
Is
did
that
not.
Confirmed?
No, that's the thing. They shot it in London, of all places.
Well,
I think it's wonderful when you get the real Italian Americans who lived in the wilderness in the West and the Jewish people, and you put them in long wigs and leathers, and you show them as they truly were.
That's an authentic Western.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where we ought to be in this country today, but instead we're going to goddamn New Zealand to shoot Montana.
Hobbits, cowboys, what's next?
Yeah.
West Wing, New Zealand, what?
That could be what's next, I guess.
I don't know.
Well, he didn't even mention what to me was the worst part of that movie, because I did see that. Well, it's two worst parts. This one might be a bit of a spoiler. How, can you handle like a...
A mild spoiler?
A mild spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to know what the power of the dog
is. Exactly. That's my number one problem. You go into that movie thinking this is going to be a dog. It's going to be a movie about a dog with powers.
It was another Last Trophy situation.
Precisely. I don't believe I saw even at any time a dog in that movie.
There's no dog.
If there is one, it's just walking around doing dog stuff and never saw a dog with powers.
No.
But then number two, there's cars in this damn movie. Kind of a Western has cars in it.
What kind of cars?
Like old jalopy type cars. But I say if you're making a Western, you get horses, you get trains. You got wagons, stagecoaches.
Coaches.
And maybe you got one of them
donkey.
Donkey.
Yeah.
But one of them up and down on the railroad track.
Yes.
Yeah, what are those
the
called?
The hilarious comedy machine.
Yeah, they're only in comedies. If you're making a comedy Western, you could put somebody on the up and down one railroad thing, and you could put two guys on it or one. Doesn't matter.
I challenge you,
but if you
Hollywood.
Put two guys on them, one of them's got to be real fat, and the other one's got to be real skinny. But go ahead.
And doing all the work.
Yeah,
I challenge you, Hollywood, to make a drama set on one of them up and down things on a railroad
The
track.
Whole movie has to take place on it.
It's a two-person drama, and there's some real issues and relationship problems, but the whole thing is they're just going down a track on one of them things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Hollywood, you've been challenged. But this movie had goddamn cars in it. As soon as I saw that, I said, where's the Western in this Western?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So thank you, Sam Elliott, for pointing out some of the problems and for getting mad on our behalf. It's good to have somebody come out there and get mad about something.
Well,
I mean, if anybody has the cred to do it, it's Sam Elliott.
Oh, it's Sam.
And if there's anything less gay, it's men spending all their time together for years out on the road, far away from women and domestic pleasures.
In a pair of overpants that is designed to have no ass and no crotch,
but lots of curly sheep fur in the front.
Yes, sir.
That must feel nice.
Straight as an arrow.
Hell yes. Here, I got one more critique about this movie, and I'm going to say it so it ain't a spoiler. Let's say you have something that you don't want anybody to know you have. Life would be bad for you if people knew you had this thing. It's a good idea to hide it someplace, right?
Okay.
But it's a bad idea to write your name on it.
Oh.
Well, now you got my curiosity.
All right. I'm just saying that was poor judgment. Okay. Those are my complaints. I have different complaints from Sam Elliott, but I agree. They shouldn't have given this movie new Oscars.
There should have been more hunks of meat that were over the fire.
Oh, yeah. Do
you remember that?
Like in this episode of Bonanza.
And that's exactly what we serve on our marriage encounter weekend, where you just get one chunk of meat and you got to share it.
Oh.
Yeah. You nibble at it and you have to listen to your spouse chew.
Oh, no. And it's on. Is it served like in Bonanza on an extremely dangerous looking long two-tine fork?
That's right.
Oh, straight out of the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I don't know whether to do fun facts first or a new feature of this program. I think we'll do a new, we got a new feature of this program.
I'm so excited.
I just come up with it last night. Here's how it goes. So the original air date of this episode of Bonanza was March 26th, 1960. See?
We're coming up on the 62nd anniversary
of this episode airing. A person that was born when this episode aired, on the day this episode aired, is soon to be 62 years old. I'm looking at you, Jennifer Grey.
Wow.
That's a surprise that she's that old.
Oh, this is a treat.
Yep.
We should have a party.
We should.
A party for Jennifer Grey?
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
Okay.
Okay, so wait a minute. Hey, Brett, take a break from cutting out all my stories of killing monsters. And I want you to play the song, A Theme from a Summer Place. Put it up right there, and he's going to do this later. Oh, there it is.
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
that sounds nice. That's a little too loud. Can you turn it down just a bit? A little louder. Perfect.
It's a little too quiet now.
You think it's too quiet?
Yeah, bring it back up.
Bump it back up just a bit. Yeah. This song you're hearing now by Percy Faith, The Theme from a Summer Place. Why, this was the number one song on the charts the day that this episode of Bonanza premiered on television.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Isn't it beautiful?
It is so nice. If I could just change a couple of the notes and I could sell it out of the back of the trunk of my car.
It's not a bad idea. Sound, you don't need to change much to have to call it a sound-alike.
A sound-alike.
All right. I guess there must have been a movie called A Summer Place or something.
I ain't never heard of it. It's just themed from an actual place that's called A Summer Place.
Oh, okay. So Percy Faith had maybe a summer house, and the house had a theme song, and this was it, maybe.
That's a great idea that houses should have theme songs. Like Tara should, from Gone with the Wind, could have a theme song. Yes. Every time your bell rings, you get...
She had the Faith Void split album.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk. 7-inch.
Wow, I don't know that record.
Discord Records, Ian McKay.
Is that Christian noise rock?
Wow.
No, it's my husband likes that music. So what I do is I hear what he says and I mimic it back to him so he feels seen.
I was going to say, I thought maybe you had a secret double life or something before you became a Christian or something.
I'm going to try to say this with conviction. Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart is a masterpiece. I try to bring him comfort.
Oh, that's nice. You just say that. So he's down there making dicks out of plywood, blaring these songs down, and you come down and you say, this is wonderful music.
And I'm worried about these plywood dicks.
Honey, you
keep
going, and you are the only person who can speak negatively about Billy Joel because you are the only man alive who has even listened to his heavy metal album, Attila.
Oh, Lord. Billy Joel had a heavy metal album?
What? When?
Oh, dear.
I believe one of his first or second albums.
No shit.
Oh, really? It was early. That was way too early to start experimenting.
Yeah.
If he put that out now, it'd be the biggest hit anybody ever heard of. How old is he now? 70s?
70s.
I tell you, my husband, he will come to fisticuffs, and he will do that strange English kind of boxing that's when the fists are just near their face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like
a little
pugilism.
Like a puppet.
Marcus of Queensbury.
Marcus of Queensbury boxing.
Yeah.
He will do that with you if you even suggest that he should be a part of the American Songbook.
Or that he should be?
He shouldn't.
Who, Billy Joel?
What?
He does not like him.
Oh, he doesn't like Billy Joel.
No.
But does he like the one heavy metal album?
No.
Oh, okay. He's one of the only people who's heard it, and he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like
it. Or any of the rest of what Billy Joel's
listened to the whole catalog.
Okay.
And he is knowledgeable.
Okay.
About what has been proffered.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he, yeah, because sometimes somebody will criticize something and they ain't even seen it.
Oh, yeah. They say, Taylor Swift or Dan Brown. The author Dan Brown has never, he can't write his way out of a vomit bag.
Dan Brown's never met Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but has familiarized himself to an extraordinary degree with Billy Joel's work, and he is qualified more than it sounds like anybody else in the world will say. This guy stinks, and I can't disagree with him. He's writing all about a New York state of mind. Who wants to be in one of them? Yeah. I say to hell with him. I'm on your husband's side this time.
I got to take a contrarian stance there and say that Downeaster Alexa is the cowboy man's song of the sea.
Oh.
We don't have to discuss it. I just need it on
record. Cowboy man's song of the sea.
Yeah.
I love that. But I don't like to think about a cowboy on the sea.
We got one of those little libraries, but it's Christian. And so we try to, you know, just keep, I curate it. Especially with just stories of Christianity and good works and Bill O'Reilly. And then we got Dan Brown.
Oh, no.
Someone did a dump of Dan Brown.
Oh, no. Someone put pigweed in the mulligan stew.
Oh, you're saying you have one of them little libraries out in front of your house?
That's
people
right.
can come take a book, leave a book, and somebody left a Dan Brown.
You can
in
leave
there.
One book, but not 40.
They've left 40 of the
40
same?
40 Dan Browns.
Of the different titles or just all one?
All different titles. Different, you know, different.
He's probably got 40
publisher,
books too.
But the hard cover, soft cover.
Wait, did they take anything?
No.
Oh my God, this is
take out your own garbage.
Do you suppose Brett is still playing the theme from A Summer Place? I guess he must be. Must have had to start it over from the top.
I just can't get over this, Amy. Yep. You have been assaulted. This is like the equivalent of someone just parking a dead RV on your lawn.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, now we have to take care of it, you know, and so I had to put that.
Yeah, what'd you do with all these Dan Brown books?
I put that trash in the back of my car, which is a used Honda CR-V. I wish I had a Nissan Cube, but I have a Honda CR-V. I love the off-the-shoulder window. I love the off-the-shoulder window where you can't see out because it really, it's a metaphor for how you. I have a blind spot. I genuinely do in life.
Sure. You don't think you could trade in the one for the other? Seems like a
lateral move.
Hubris.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, so you put all these 40 Dan Brown books in your CRV.
And I brought it down to Goodwill to people who need them.
Oh, who would that be?
Yeah.
Who the hell needs a goddamn
people who need
Dan
some
Brown?
Punishment and penance? Can you give Dan Brown legally to the Goodwill when inherently there is no goodwill in your gift?
Well, sometimes you just have to leave a garbage bag full of crap at night after the Goodwill's closed and you wear a ski mask because they have those cameras now.
Oh, because you know you're dropping off something that has no value.
Oh, and they will ticket you.
Oh, okay.
Because it's public dumping and they will note your license plate.
But I hear you. It's hard to just put a book in the garbage. It's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. I'll tell you who might want 40 Dan Brown books.
Dan Brown?
Maybe not even him.
Okay.
Somebody who is going to take 40 short beach vacations and has like a head injury to where they can't remember for more than, you know what I mean?
Like, we can all agree that the three Robert Langdon films starring Tom Hanks are masterpieces.
They made three of them?
Oh, sure.
What are they called?
You got the Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
You got Angels and Demons.
Okay.
And the late stage Dan Brown novel, Inferno.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And the leading ladies being Audrey Tautou, Islet Zerr, and Felicity Jones.
Wow.
What?
You know a lot about this.
I'm alarmed.
Okay, Ben-Hur was the number one movie in the country on March 26, 1960. Ben-Hur, that's a biblical tale, I believe. Now, all the news stories that I could find from 1960 was all about Nikita Khrushchev. And here's two I'd like to tell you about. He was taking a trip to Paris. He took a trip to Paris. And on the 26th, 1960, He was doing touring around France. He was participating in a parade in Bordeaux, and the people of the town of Bordeaux threw nails in the road. That's how much they didn't like Nikita Khrushchev.
Wow.
They threw nails in the road.
Oh, no.
And then the other story about him was that a 10-year-old girl in New Jersey wrote Nikita Khrushchev a letter asking for Russian rocks because I guess she's a rock collector, and he sent her some.
Why didn't she follow up with, hey, can I have your nukes, too?
Man, I don't know. Yeah.
Could have all been over.
Never even occurred to her. She obviously writes a nice letter. Well, so people was obsessed with Khrushchev there, and they're throwing nails at him and getting rocks from him, and everything had to do with that guy.
You know, he was going to go to Disneyland, and then Walt Disney wouldn't let him come.
Oh, come on now.
That's true.
That's not was there, is there anybody else in the history of Disneyland that wasn't allowed to come?
Well, Bruce Springsteen was kicked out.
He was?
Yep, for wearing a bandana. And Steven Van Zandt. And this was in the height of the gang Crips versus Blood era, and they refused to take him off.
But so Steven Van Zandt's bald. He likes to have that bandana on his head. Now, I don't know. Well, I guess Bruce was wearing one in solidarity.
Must have been.
Well, right.
Yeah.
He should have worn his Sopranos wig. All right. Thank you, Brett. You can fade out on that song. That's a good song, though, isn't it?
Hey, Brett, could you fade in one of them hard rocking Billy Joel heavy metal tunes?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing something off of Attila. Go ahead there.
Wonder Woman with your skin so bare.
That's enough.
Yeah. I never heard of that before. Was that, I guess that was before Uptown Girl.
Oh, yes, it was far before
that.
He
says, I've done heavy metal, time to do the doo-wop.
Yeah, that
natural
was
natural progression.
The precursor to Piano Man, just called Flying V Guitar Man.
Ridiculous. All right, fun facts about this episode of Bonanza. Bill Ballinger wrote it. It's the only episode of Bonanza he ever wrote. He mostly wrote suspense novels, not unlike Dan Brown.
Well, we know Bill Ballinger was impotent. We know that much.
Clearly, he's an impotent man. He wrote a book called Not I, Said the Vixen. And then he had a series of suspense novels featuring the Native American Central Intelligence Agent, Joaquin Hawk.
Whoa.
I'm sure that was an excellent portrayal of Native Americans. And, all right, he wrote the episode. Hazel Court played Lady Beatrice Dunsford. She is a bit of a hero of the horror movie genre. Stephen King likes her a lot and puts her name into a whole bunch of his books. He just always seems to work Hazel Court into
referring to the actress or just
yeah to the actress
he, no kidding
a fan yeah, of her
and it's a really this is a great episode to learn English UK style English, which I do teach on a part-time level. If you're going overseas and you want to learn how to say certain things, like saying instead of Mr. everyone's Lord, and then Mrs. And then aluminum is aluminium.
Oh, brother.
Herbal is herbal. And then lady is slatternly bitch. Because she keeps hitting on everybody.
No kidding.
Oh, man.
That's helpful. You know, if you're going to go to France or something like that, they'll say, here's some phrases to help you get around. Nobody ever does it with England, but that helps right there.
Yeah. She really is randy, man. She is
that lady,
just like a...
I've never seen anybody pull that move before on a camping trip. Hey, let me lie down. I'm cold. I'm going to get into your bedroll.
Let me get on your schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she wanted to do. Let me get on your fucking
chewier chicken. Than a Louisiana wetland. Let me get under your hotbed.
Well, Hazel Court was in a movie called Dr. Blood's Coffin. She was in a movie called Mary Had a Little ...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Dr. Blood's possessive coffin or Dr. Blood is coffin?
Oh, the coffin belongs to Dr.
Okay,
Blood. Yeah, Dr. Blood's coffin.
And what was
coffin.
The second one?
Mary Had a Little ... And I tried to find out what the end of that sentence was supposed to be.
What she got. That's exciting to think about what Mary had, because I would think it would be a little lamb.
Sure. That's what I would think,
too. I think it's Mary had a little syphilis.
Well, the only thing I learned that could be a clue.
A little bit too much to drink.
Mary had a little bit too much to drink. This is described as Britain's first sex comedy. Mary Had a Little ... But I can't tell what it is.
Wow. That's exciting.
I believe the movie is about somehow trying to give birth to the perfect baby.
That's a sex comedy?
Yeah.
Sounds like a birth comedy.
Right. Leave birth out of it if you want people to feel sexy. All right. Edward Ashley played Lord Marion Dunsford. He was in a movie called Wan Ton Tong, The Dog Who Saved Hollywood.
Now, there's the power of the dog.
Yeah,
there's a dog with powers.
There you go.
Is it so hard, Jane Champion?
Yeah. Jane Champion, all I wanted was for the power of the dog to be more like Wan Ton Ton, the dog who saved Hollywood.
I'll bet Sam Elliott
if it's in the
movie.
Title, you've got to pay it off.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yep.
He was in a movie called Dick Tracy Meets Gruesome, and you're damn right he met Gruesome in that movie. You're
the
right.
Word of God. God's all over that thing.
Sure. Yeah. And then
the Bible.
He was also in a movie called Gay Blades, not Zorro the Gay Blade.
Oh, George Hamilton.
An earlier film called Gay Blades. Mm. Then we had a fellow named Bert Fried. He played Solomon Belcher. He's the real bad guy in this movie. He was in a movie called Men of the Fighting Lady. And
so what would that be called in America?
Oh,
Men of the Slatternly Bitch.
Lords of the Fighting Slatternly Bitch.
Dudes. Oh, dudes. Longhorn dudes of the Slatternly Bitches.
Okay. You say so. I thought Men of the Fighting Lady must have been an exciting movie, but I looked up the synopsis. It sounds like maybe the most boring movie that was ever made.
How so?
Here it comes. A famous writer visits an aircraft carrier during the Korean War to learn more about it and the way it's run. He also gets to find out more about the Navy and Marine aviators themselves, their internal and external conflicts, and dangers of their job. I mean...
Was it on PBS?
Was it, like an industrial film for the Navy, perhaps?
Maybe. Okay, that would help. Men of the Fighting Lady, I guess so.
We, just to let you know about carping, Christian action role playing for couples,
yes.
Is that you can suggest a thematic reference. So if you wanted to carp as if you're on a Navy jetliner or in the Bible or to redo some scene from your home, like your wife not finishing the dishes and drying them and putting them away and expecting you to do them. We can also do that, but the cost of the weekend is $15,000.
Wait a minute.
My God.
It can be a site-specific experience, but if it's going to be that, as opposed to being locked in the church basement.
No, you're locked in the church basement,
you are definitely
but our imaginations run free.
Oh, okay. So does it cost more for imagining?
Well, if there are specialty things, items.
Oh, but you're saying the base is $15,000.
$15,000 if you want extra things. Yeah. Like we do have, special, like a sawhorse.
Oh.
That we use in a variety of ways.
I'm sure you do.
To ride on or to
what? To ride on.
Okay.
To be attacked by, to read from.
Oh, yeah.
Things are written on it?
Yes.
All right.
It can be there's so many things we can do.
Well, it sounds great. Hey, is that $15,000 per couple?
No, yes, per couple.
Okay,
and we believe me, we check you out first so you know that you're safe.
What if I were to just pay $15,000? I ain't got a wife. Could I bring just a weekend gal along? Or
oh,
something?
Yes. We will work with what you have and we will do a premarital weekend where we check out your love languages.
Okay.
And they see, are you acts of service? Are you physical? Are you gifts of food? Are you...
These are different kinds of love languages?
Love languages. Are you movie screeners?
I recently found out my love language was licking.
Licking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very common. My husband is a massage to the ball.
Okay, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, no. The cradling of the balls. That's all he's ever wanted. And it just
he doesn't even want the other part. He just wants
no,
that.
No, it's just this feeling, this sense that he's being held from his center.
That's true.
Hey, does he listen to this podcast? Does he ever know what the things you say or anything like that? No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. You know, we both, you know, have our businesses, and then yeah. sometimes things we do together, you know, like the wooden gun. When your gun don't shoot anymore, it's when
oh, is that
when
what you call
yeah,
the dildos, yeah, the plywood dildos.
It's your rearmament plan for your man.
Amy, I'm real concerned about these plywood dildos because that's just a heavy potential for splintering.
I agree.
But the kind of shellac, he does an incredible job. 5 layers. Of dipping
of toxic shellac.
And
well, you solve the splinter problem, you're just never going to be happy. I'm not concerned.
And
anytime there is
love, that there is pain.
Yeah.
And there can be friction and dryness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But
if
never
you care about this marriage. You'll sustain a splinter in your vagina.
Oh, that's no problem.
Right.
You take one for the team and you keep going. And when I say the team, I mean family.
Hear, hear. There is no I in family. A fellow by the name of Ken Meyer played Whitey in this episode. He's the fella, I'll tell you what, I think this is the best shooting death we've ever seen on Bonanza. I can't wait to show it to you.
Yeah.
He's the ranch hand who comes along on their camping trip. Hey, poor man gets shot making coffee. But he was on 13 episodes of Gunsmoke, which is another television show, I guess. It has 13 different characters. Some of their names, Pudge, Tuttle, Shad, and Tiplet.
Oh, my God.
He was in 12 episodes of Bonanza, 12 different characters, such as Krusty, Jeb, Poker, and Tarbosh.
He brings his own names, huh?
I guess so. He was in 14 episodes of something called Death Valley Days. Some of them include Seldom Sam, French Frank, and Lud Metcalf, L-U-D.
Wow.
That's a good first name.
That's what we do during our carping is we dress up one of our kids as the comedic element.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just keep falling.
Well, that was Whitey. He was funny in this episode.
He was.
You put them in, like a pair of pants that's too big so they're tripping over their cuffs
yes.
and whatnot? Oh, I
yes.
like that. Tie their shoelaces together.
Exactly. Or you put them at the top of some stairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just for laughs. I think that's a good idea.
Grease the stairs.
It doesn't yep. sound, it's not. It's pretty safe because it's carpeted.
Oh.
Well, now, Tuma, the Native American woman who is Belcher's girlfriend.
Finally showing Russian actresses, Russian first-generation immigrant actresses as they truly were back in the Old West.
Yeah. Well, no, but she's a Native American peoples in this.
Now, that checks because the Bering Strait used to be connected to Russia, and so
okay.
they're all one.
There you go.
Well, she doesn't talk, and that's what women are like.
I think she might have said one thing or two, maybe. She may have grunted.
The nerve.
The nerve? Is that what she said?
No, I'm just saying of speaking.
Oh, right. But this was an actress named Naomi Stevens, and you'd never guess it from this appearance, but she worked a lot. She always turned up in what you might call ethnic roles. And it didn't matter the ethnicity. She played a lot of Mrs. Goldsteins and a lot of Juanitas and Mrs. Nazario and Rose Montefusco and Mama Rossini. And then here's some characters. She played Madame Voltaire, Madame Zorina, and Madame Hecuba.
Whoa.
All in different things.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She just got a look on her
she's got a Madame vibe for sure.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
Yeah. If you need a matronly ethnic person, she'll do it, whatever your ethnic thing situation requires. And
yeah.
She turned up as Tuma in this episode, and she gets kicked in the butt.
Everyone gets kicked in the butt at one point when they have a plate of food.
Oh, yeah. Beats having to eat it. And finally, Kavanaugh's grandson was played by a little boy named Jimmy Carter, who would go on to become the 39th president of the United States.
Who knew?
Who knew? That little boy's name was Jimmy Carter.
He's definitely got 50s kid actor voice. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That just that diction, there's something about it.
Well, he said, my grandpa's dead. It was Hingens,
yeah.
He said. He put a little
just
H on
that
it.
Sort of talking like this.
Yeah.
Like June, what's her name? June Foray? Is that her name that does Rocky the Squirrel?
Oh, uh-huh.
And she dubbed that kid in that Twilight Zone episode, but it only started halfway through inexplicably.
What are you talking about?
There's a Twilight Zone episode where the girl that plays Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird has her own voice halfway through, and inexplicably the mics must have failed, and they brought June Foray in and dub her the second half.
I've got to see this.
Yeah, it's about the swimming pool where their kids' parents are divorcing, so they go to dive in the swimming pool and find a little door, and they end up in a little idealistic, like, Huck and Tom Sawyer land. You ain't never seen this one? It's late stage Twilight Zone, fourth season.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no chance you dreamed it. Because you know what I mean.
Like
it does sound a little bit like a dream.
No, I promise, because I've unless I dreamed where I went back and checked that I didn't dream it.
Oh, well, that could be.
But I believe this to be true.
All right. Well, we're going to confirm it. I hope you don't mind. All right.
I'll look in.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Into it.
Well, I think we're going to try. I always try to get through these episodes fast, but we've been spending a lot of time already before we even get to the recap. But you ready?
We can also have live animals played by myself or my husband during these, you know, theatrical weekends. If you can't afford the money for a big weekend, you can also get a secondary ticket to just be outside of the locked church and know that other people are suffering who are married.
How much does that cost?
That's only like $15.
So $15 to be outside,
knowing that there's a lot going on.
Oh,
you and your spouse could leave at any time.
But you don't know what's going on.
You don't know exactly what's going on.
All right.
But they're locked in there. Just, it's that Schadenfreude-y where you, in order to feel good about yourself, you got to know that someone else is having a hard time. Right. And that's the benefit of that service that we provide.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you could get like a closed caption, what do they call it? Closed circuit TV situation so that somebody on the outside of the church can watch what's going on the inside, you could charge more than $15. And they'd have all the more Schadenfreude's. Freudenmares.
That's like certain, you know, sports games have overflow in high school, so they open up another room and put closed circuit TV in there. You could do that.
Like
you can make TikTok? A TikTok?
Kind of.
I guess it's like TikTok.
It?
Kind of.
Yeah. You can TikTok anything you want, as far as I'm concerned. All righty. This episode begins in a bustling Virginia city, which is burst back to life from the last episode when nobody was there. But now, is it bustling.
Plague's gone, I guess.
Yeah. And they got, there's a couple of British people show up, and they're expecting Ben Cartwright, but he ain't there. And the British man says, I'll try to put the pause in between these two sentences as long as it really is in the episode. He says, I'll get someone to bring the baggage. would you bring the baggage, please? He just turns to the, he says, and he turns. Well, then they head into the saloon, and I guess they're going to check into the hotel for the night because they don't understand where Ben is to take him to the Ponderosa. And that's when this fella Solomon Belcher overhears that this man's name is Marion, and he don't like that one bit. And he likes it even less when he finds out it's a common name in England. And he says, this ain't England. And I thought, this guy's not that Bonanza needed another hero, but I'm right there with this guy. Don't name your boy Marion.
No.
And don't be from England, God damn it. So I like that. But then he starts slapping Marion around, which is a little uncalled for. And Adam shows up just in the nick of time. He swats Belcher and pulls his gun on him. And there you go.
And the wife looks on approvingly at the young whippersnapper who's able to grab his gun.
Yeah,
her
that's
motor
right.
running. She's already got designs on him.
Oh, hey, wait, I forgot to say. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Okay. So now we're at the Ponderosa. Marion. And Beatrice.
Or she says Beatrice.
Oh, she calls herself Beatrice?
Yeah.
Beatrice.
They're all, it's a fancy dinner at the Ponderosa. Hop Sing must have prepared and served it, but he ain't in the episode.
He's not in.
And man, these boys are falling all over themselves for Beatrice. They all love her so much. What's his name? Joe openly flirts with her right in front
it's
of her damn husband.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, almost.
It really almost is.
It's really uncomfortable.
Hoss calls her a filly. That's a high compliment from Hoss. I mean, that's...
You are a lady horse.
Because he's the hoss.
Yeah.
He is the hoss.
Come to find out, Marion has been on an African hunt, and he's the finest shot in all England, and so on and so on. So, but his wife says that about him in the company of others like 100 times in this episode, and every time he gets a little uncomfortable, you begin to feel like something's going on. Then she says to Adam, hey, you want to go outside with me and get some fresh air? He says, sure. It's a strange invitation.
Right in front of her husband.
Right in front of her husband.
Well, because she wants to stop reminiscing.
Oh, that's right. She says
that's what men like to do. They reminisce. Women lives in the future.
Right.
If we're to extrapolate this out where this is a metaphor for impotence, that means then that Marion at one point was the greatest lover in all of London.
Oh, I suppose the greatest lover. Yeah. And she was promised not only nonstop cock, but...
Amy Sleepers.
Well, it is just because...
What else is she supposed to call it?
Yeah, that is
term.
What...
Nonstop
God,
cock.
God doesn't... He doesn't mince words when he says, you get in there and you get the marital bed a-rocking, even if people are knocking. And... that's not going on anymore with this guy. And you just think, well... You know, she does have a right to complain and get her needs met somehow.
I don't disagree. Well, Adam and Beatrice go outside and have some of the smallest small talk I've ever heard in my life. And then they're standing real close to each other, and then they go sit down, and she just met Adam.
Too close,
I agree. Yeah. But she is just right out there going, oh, my husband, he never changes, he blah, blah, blah. And then she plants a kiss on Adam just as her husband and Ben Cartwright walk up. Couldn't be more awkward. Nobody knows what to say about it, and so they say nothing. It is something else.
But it's very common in Christian marriages because people can't talk about stuff, so then they just start lunging at people.
I've got no words for it. Here's my lips.
Yeah. That must have happened to you and your husband if you ain't talking like you said. You're just all
quiet.
Well,
you don't work out issues and don't get outside help, and you just go, you just start having... outside hobbies and relationships, or double down on church so far that you start to think, you know, you start making everything about church.
That sounds perfect to
at
me.
Least you haven't done that, Amy.
No, I'm just really interested in getting the word of God out there through business.
Yes, the state of the marriage is strong, don't worry.
Oh, it sounds
course,
real good.
It's very strong.
better than Buttress and Marion, I'll tell you that.
Well,
we see them in their bedroom, and I mean, what kind of a woman could stay with a man who's got a robe like that? He's got the reddest robe I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's a beautiful robe.
But not for a man, damn it. And then downstairs now, Marion's got a real fancy gun, and they're looking at his real fancy gun.
Oh, yeah, because, and that's, you know, maybe at first she said, oh, it's so big and long and has right. the girth of a cannon. And then, you know, it just turns out it stopped working.
So with the analogy, this would be a scene in which everybody's standing around ogling and oohing and ahhing.
He had over the hog of the hog.
Cock. Right.
Yeah. He was.
But it's limp. It's just lying there.
It's large
nothing.
But limp.
His
large
snake
limp.
Was like a beer can.
Right. So now they're talking about going out cougar hunting, and Adam says, well,
guess
now
who's a cougar?
Exactly.
Older women God. Looking for tang.
Looking for tang. Now, Adam says, we can't bring a lot of people out for a cougar hunt or we'll scare away the cougar. And not only is two things I never knew about hunting cougars. It takes 2 days to get to one, and you can't bring a lot of people with you. You just got to, I mean, just the hunters, and I guess you can bring your wife. And
your wife.
And one idiot to bring stuff and make coffee.
We've done this as a carp, and it's just a long game.
Yeah.
It's too long for what you get out of it.
Do you got a kid playing the cougar, or is it a type of
Brad
Pitt?
Well, it's depending.
Wig?
You get to choose who you could play the cougar yourself.
Oh.
The
sawhorse can be the cougar.
The sawhorse can be the cougar. Sure. We make all the decisions the day of. The most important thing is that you are locked in the basement.
Okay.
Has anybody done it yet? Have you ever had anybody do it yet?
Get what?
Has anyone paid for this service yet? Have you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Oh, yes.
All right. Good.
No, this is a.
It's a going concern.
It's a well thought out and structured business plan that has a 1, 5, and 10 year outlook.
Okay. Are you okay?
Damn it! I keep doing this. I just ask a simple question. Go to all places. I'm sorry.
It's real.
Of
fragile.
Course, you've done it a million times. Of course, you have.
Yeah. Sorry
I asked that.
Stupid. Oh man.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Oh brother. All right. So now we have a little scene here. Now, okay, Belcher rides up on an old man, Cavanaugh, who's sitting there on his porch, and he's appropriately suspicious with his shotgun in his hands. But Belcher says, "Hey, could you go inside and get me some tobacco?" And somehow that allays the suspicions of the old man, and he puts his gun down, and he goes inside his house. And that's when a whole bunch of Native American
people,
Italian Americans and buckskin show up, and they attack this old man. They just kill him, don't they? They just kill him.
I believe they do.
And his grandson, President Jimmy Carter, is hiding in the bushes, and he sees it go down, but he keeps his mouth shut, smart boy. So this is Belcher's plan. He's got some operation with these Native American peoples where he will show up, and he'll get the person to drop their guard because he's just a white man asking for tobacco. And then as soon as they put their gun down, in come the Native American peoples and kill them. And they're renegades.
Oldest scam in the book.
Oh, I guess so. Well, now, okay, yeah. And then the little boy, what are they doing over there, cutting down trees?
I must have been, yeah.
Has that been going on for a while and I just noticed it?
I think it's getting louder.
Brett, bring up the theme from Summer Place again.
It's wonderful. This reminds me of Einstürzende Neubauten.
What the heck? What?
It's a German noise band.
Oh, the tree cutting down is.
Are they Christian or they're just regular noise?
No, it's my husband's favorite band where it sounds like a 747 taking off while taking a drill and putting it into a metal sheet.
And he doesn't like Billy Joel.
Nope.
Okay. He's a complicated man.
Turn it up!
All right, you can take out the theme from Summer Place. We can't run it the whole damn time.
But put in some Einbauten Neubauten. What is it?
Einstürzende Neubauten.
Einstürzende Neubauten.
Oh, it turns out it's been playing for the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
no so need, Brett. No.
Noise music. You don't even have to practice to be a musician.
You don't.
You just turn it on.
Yeah, you better.
Stand by the freeway and you're jamming.
Well, now Jimmy Carter goes to the Ponderosa and he tells Ben and Hoss are there what's gone down. And that tells Ben and Hoss, oh no, our friends who've gone to hunt cougar are in danger.
Right.
And therefore, it's going to be Hoss and Little Joe going to take off after him and let him know these renegade Indians are with Belcher all around here.
I'm just starting to think that the Cartwrights just bring danger, and they're always involved in some kind of bad luck. What's going on? Every time we watch an episode, there's shit going down. Don't they ever get to relax or go on an actual cougar hunt?
Oh, yeah.
And they play with women's feelings. There's a lot of... There's a... He's what he's doing, it's called... where he's flirting with ladies and then acting surprised.
Oh, Adam does this.
Yeah, Adam does this. And they
got a point. He definitely is sending her signals like, let's do it, you and me.
Yes.
And then she goes for it, and she goes for it, man.
And then he does not.
And then he says, what the hell are you doing? Right, that is confusing. Well, yes. Okay, so now we got Adam is stalking a cougar. Here's where we see it. Everything is all lined up for Marion to fuck. And
yep, he's got Adam a cougar in his sights.
Yep,
an old gal in his sights.
But he doesn't splooge, even though everyone's chanting his name. Splooge, 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 splooge.
Adam literally chases the cougar towards the rifle. I mean, it couldn't be more helpful than that. He goes, I'm gonna circle around the side. I'm gonna chase that.
He's cradling
cougar.
The balls. He's working the shaft.
He's sitting there on the edge of the bed with his legs spread.
Yep,
big old just oil can sticking out, while the other people have basically, like you do to a bull, they've kind of, you know, they're corralling an older gal towards.
Her panties are off. Her legs are spread. She is headed directly for
She's a
his
fertile
Johnson.
Swampland, and he is flying a flag, and still he cannot do this.
It couldn't be easier. And as Whitey explains, if he doesn't do what he's expected to do, they're all going to die.
Now, I'm starting to sympathize with this fella because that's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
You don't fuck this woman, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and we usually leave the couple alone.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Oh, yeah. If we don't put any pressure on people.
When they're carping.
Yeah, when they're carping.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you intervene in their lives quite a bit when they're
we leave when it comes to the physical interaction.
Right.
We you know, let's say we did reenact Lot's daughters and with a couple, and I played one of the daughters, and then the husband played Lot.
Yeah.
And anyways, it's kind of complicated because we had to do some rewrites. And then but we left them alone, and then we just came back with burritos later.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that's why you need the closed circuit if you're going to leave them alone.
And God's okay with you rewriting the Bible, huh?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, when it's from within, it's I'm a channel for Christ.
Oh, right.
Did you know that if you are a channel for Christ, then whatever you say or do or think, it's given to you by God. And maybe you check it out with a couple of other Christians, but maybe you don't because they don't know what they're talking about.
I see.
You start your own church.
Right. All right.
Okay.
So when you were yelling splooge, 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 left and right, that's essentially channeled straight from God's mouth.
Yes.
Okay.
That God is very sex positive.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
He's very sex positive.
That's nice.
Good for him.
Well, I mean,
who does God have sex with?
Well, I don't know.
Anyone he wants, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, he's always, he probably gets a lot.
Yeah. Well, I guess he had sex with Mary, didn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
But my friend, that was a long time ago.
That's true. I mean, God must really be. Well, maybe God's got the same problem Marion has.
Oh, no, don't you dare say it.
Okay.
All right. So that night at the campsite, that's when Bud just tries to climb into Adam's sleeping bag. And she says,
so to speak.
Yeah. By the way, it was Adam that ended up shooting the cougar. He took care of it for him. And
I mean, I don't want to harp on this,
okay.
But then we all know.
Yeah.
that Adam had to come over and have coitus with that cougared older gal
right
in front of Marion.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. In front of everybody.
That's right.
And then he said, by the way, after he does it, he says to the man, he says to Marion, "You'll never get a better chance." He just says it right to his face.
And we know from extra biblical erotic fiction that Adam likes to walk around in fully clothed except from the waist down.
Yes, that is true. That was specified in fan fiction. So now, Adam says, "You're wasting your time, Lady Dunsford. He's not gonna have sex with a married woman." Well, okay, now it's the next morning, and I'm gonna show you a little clip here. Poor Whitey. Whitey just gets up to make coffee. That's all he wants to do, poor fella. And you'll see what happens to him. Here he goes.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, going to get himself a cup of coffee by the fire.
Get a cup of coffee. See that? We also have free coffee during our week. Oh.
You ever seen a man die like that on screen?
He might as well have been saying, "There I go."
It's hard to explain, but it was a bit sort of a "I give up" kind of thing. Like, first having to sleep outside, now getting shot. Forget it.
I knew it.
Yep.
I thought it had the style of a French clown.
Oh, well.
Someone who's done some real work in Paris.
Yeah, went to clowns college.
I guess so. But that's the end of it for Whitey. He's been killed. And by who? Well, Simon Belcher and his Italian mob. Oh. And they end up taking hostages of Adam and Marion and Beatrice.
And she seems to like Belcher, despite the fact that he's not nice or seems unattractive. She says, well, at least he knows what he wants.
A real man. Yeah, that's true.
Which is unfortunate.
When we get to the campsite, they make up a camp, the renegades, with their hostages. They put the hostages in one area, and then four steps away is Belcher's area, but they act like they're long distance. He presents a formal invitation to come join me in my area. She walks over there. At some point, Adam comes by, and Belcher says, "What is this, a visit?" It's really not that far. But anyways.
It makes me question the two-day cougar hike.
True. Maybe they're not so good with distances. But come to find out, here's where they all get convoluted. Belcher is going to get some kind of ransom for his hostages, but he starts falling for Beatrice. He likes Beatrice better than Tuma, and he explains that if he chooses a new woman, such as like Beatrice, he's going to have to smash Tuma's brains out with a rock
or something.
That is a real either or. Yep.
My God.
Oh, well.
Yep. And then he'll have Beatrice. He's going to keep her. And here's Marion, just like, you know, he's got no response, basically. And Adam has been injured by an arrow in the campsite.
And he just looks handsomer and handsomer.
I'll tell you what, that's true. And then, I'm going to cut to the chase, and I'm going to show you this incredible scene. This is the best stunt fighting action we've ever seen.
Well, and this, what was the offer for the wife? It was the $10,000.
Oh, right.
That's the amount of my weekend.
Well, oh, wow. Yeah, 15.
Oh, 15 plus five.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because then we could, if you bring it in cash, we can reenact this.
Because that's right. At some point, Marion says, "Hey, you let us go back down to Ponderosa. We'll get $10,000 from Ben Cartwright. We'll come back up here, and that'll be money enough. You set us all free." Mm-hmm. And Belcher says, "No, not anymore now. I think I'm going to keep your wife. She'll be my new lady." And Beatrice, as I think we've said, she seems open to it.
She does.
Yeah.
She
likes that he's real manly.
Yes. She's not a, well, I mean, as they say in England, she's a slatternly bitch.
She sure is. Now, there's a knife stuck into a wooden table, isn't there? There's a wooden table. Did they travel with a wooden table?
That's a real good question.
I'm confused. But anyway, there's a wooden table, and there's a knife sticking out of it. And at some point, Marion says, "Well, shoot, I got to fight him. I have to fight Belcher. And so he goes into a Marcus of Queensbury fighting stance, and he does real well. I mean, he looks like he's going to beat him. Yeah.
And he's significantly taller than the guy, and even though they said that guy was bigger than him.
Oh, right. So it's going good, but then Belcher gets the upper hand. And now we have a moment where Belcher is on top of Marion, and it sounds like he's choking him, but when they go to the close-up, he's just grabbing him by the collar of his shirt, but maybe that's how you choke an Englishman. He's just got him by the collar.
Probably.
Right. And then he goes for the eyes, and that takes the fight right out of him.
Oh, who goes for whose eyes?
Marion.
Marion goes for Belcher's
lady
eyes?
Lady name goes to Belcher eyes.
Well, I guess he was trying to. What it looked like was just he's squishing his cheeks a lot. He's got one hand up there just squishing on his face.
Oh, I thought he got maybe his eyeball.
Well, maybe we were meant to feel
all
that.
I could think about was the only thing that brought Marion's arousal back was rolling around with another man, and that maybe Marion has found his true calling.
There is
and Solomon too, to an extent. Yes.
So it's a fighting, and now Marion is losing. He is, and he's just about lost. He's on the ground. Doesn't look like he's going to get back up.
On our honeymoon, my husband and I just went down to the local tennis courts and watched men play tennis.
On your honeymoon.
That's what stood in.
That's what we were. Sometimes that just, I don't know what it is about that, but men playing tennis. Puck, 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 puck.
Does it help if it's doubles or doesn't matter?
See, for my
as long as it's all men.
Okay.
We went and just had sex around people playing tennis.
Oh, really?
Right on the court.
Oh, on the court.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sure, that sounds good.
And they'd say, three love, and we'd go, you're darn right, get in here.
Oh, goodness. Goodness. And, oh, goodness.
Yep. Well, all right, so now Marion, I guess she had, no, not Marion, Beatrice.
That's an easy mistake.
Yeah. She's been good and turned on by seeing her husband fight this fella. Yeah. They're rolling around, and she's seen enough. She goes,
she's a lady or a deceiving cunt.
A little bit of both, I reckon. She grabs that knife off the table. Now,
on top of a slatternly bitch.
She's going to attack Belcher with this knife, but he gets better of her. He's got her pinned up against the wall. And now I want to show you how this fight resolves itself, because you've just never seen a man get possession of a gun that he didn't have in quite this manner before. So there's a Native American, Italian American man keeping a rifle on Adam during this whole fight. That's why Adam hasn't come to anybody's rescue. And what else I need to tell you? Belcher's got the knife up to Beatrice. Okay. And Marion's on the ground. Here we go.
I told you, you cross me, I'd cut your throat.
Incredible. Incredible.
So Marion slapped the shin of the man holding the rifle, which caused the man holding the rifle to throw it to Adam.
It's the odds of that happening, and I believe it. I believe it happened, and that's how it would happen. But
it's all
it got
about
so
faith
lucky.
With Bonanza. It's about believing. We don't have to have the facts.
Okay. Yes. We don't need a skeptic. Absolutely.
How could you be skeptical of that? It is so believable.
Yep.
Just the fact that sometimes things look rehearsed or edited, or maybe that's a part of God's plan.
Yeah.
And that this scene was obviously shot inside on a soundstage, or some of the other stuff is outside.
But we don't know. We don't know that. That's doubt. That's saying that maybe we know better than the Lord does.
And it looks like the cougar footage was shot by Mutual of Omaha.
I'm sure it was.
And when I say Lord, I mean the dickless wanderer.
Oh, Marion. Yes, he is a Lord. Okay, so it's just like that last episode where Vic Morrow was wandering around the countryside shooting people, except the difference is it's wandering around not fucking. So now we got, that's it. Adam, he's got an opportunity to shoot Belcher. He takes it. He shoots Belcher, but now they've got problems because they got all the Belcher's whole renegade squad out there. They're outnumbered.
No worries.
No worries, because who shows up is Hoss and Little Joe been tracking them this whole
time. They've been written into this pilot that had been sitting around for 10 years.
Exactly. The Renegades. So they show up and they disarm the Native American, Italian American peoples. And then now we're back at the Ponderosa. Hop Sing has made some soup for Marion. And now the married people are deeply in love again. And she says two things to wrap up this episode. Now I know that the man is more important than the tiger. Don't understand it. And then she says, a peaceful man, a truly peaceful man, is willing to die for what he loves. I don't understand that either, but they had to end it.
And we do teach this as a part of our couples connecting, where you do a side-by-side face. It's where you go side-by-side with both your faces and you smile into the future. Side by side, and you do that three times a day, and it improves your relationship because that skin contact is also creative and positive visualization, and it's also something you do together.
I've heard
you're creating a hobby.
Yes, the most intimate touching is your right temple to her left temple.
That's right.
Right?
That's
or
right.
Is it left to right? Maybe it doesn't matter as long as your temples are touching.
Temples.
Yeah. Well, with that, my friends, it's tragic to say we only have 404 episodes left of Bonanza.
Every time you say this, talk about it gets harder and harder.
It gets harder every damn time. Well,
there's no time.
No.
Sometimes I wonder if the Bible was a bunch of rejected storylines from campfires from the Middle East, and then they just sewed them all together into one big thing just for sales reasons.
Might have been.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
how do you feel about that if that's the case?
Well, I still like it. It's good.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's just how Bonanza came together, too. So it's
at the very least, it gets people to tell the truth when they're on trial. So,
oh, yeah. Know. That's right. 32 episodes is how many is in season one of Bonanza. So we've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes left after this before we're at the end of the first season.
What are we going to do for celebrate the first season? We got to do some kind of ceremony or marker.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure maybe people can tweet it at Bananas Pod with their suggestions.
Venmo me
at
Lotz Daughters. LOTZDAUGHTERZ.
I think that's a
underscore.
Great, yeah. That's a great way to celebrate.
63.
Perfect way to celebrate. All right, folks. Well, that's another episode. Anybody got anything else? Hey, I heard about, what's this fellow's name that you're always talking about, a friend of yours, Gorley?
Oh, Matt Gorley.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Didn't he put out an album of songs?
His band Townland's got an album called Honey on the Hi-Fi.
Okay.
You can find it streaming on any service or buy it on Bandcamp. That's about all you need to know.
Okay. All right. So go do that, you sons of bitches. It's country music, right?
It's half country, half sort of 70s easy listening rock. I'm not sure that your husband would like it. There's not much noise in it.
Oh.
Yeah. I tell him I apologize.
Does it make any noise like...
It does, but to get it to do that, you have to buy the physical CD and put it in a garbage disposal. But it does.
Oh.
And I just want to say that I still have that baby that Jellybee and I are going back and forth
on. Oh, yeah.
And I just love this thing, and I am now the primary parent, and life is good.
Well, do you know what? Just this morning, Jellybee came down the stairs with a suitcase, and he pointed at a map. He pointed at Ukraine on a map, and he put up a put up your dukes. Gesture and then walked out the door. I think he might be gone.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, for one thing, he's helping the homeland fight against that.
Well, I'm not clear as to what side he's fighting.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Oh, well, no. I'm just saying, I'm glad now that I have Duckabee, the baby.
Yeah.
And will forever.
Whichever side you're rooting for in Ukraine versus Russia, hope the Jellybee joined the other side, because he is an old and slow man. But anyway, I think he's on his way over there to get involved in it.
That's right.
And okay, and the baby, everything's going good with that baby.
So good.
Beautiful.
She's real healthy. She's got her weight. She's in her height percentile. I've been taking her to the pediatrician.
You have?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't believe in doctors. So I'm glad you've got her. All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Any final parting words there, Miss Leverson?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next time. So long.
Bye now. Woo.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Ackerman. We'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.